warm, dry week on the way. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for this Monday morning, the 13th of October, and it's brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. They've been proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Find them online, ffbt.com. In the news today, C.J. Miller and Greg Allen will bring it to you. We've got dairy cattle near Elkhart in LaGrange County is being monitored for bird flu as another case has been found up north. And also pressure mounting as the government shutdown continues. We have market analysis from Brian Basting after a significant Friday sell-off in soybeans. That's all on the way here on the Hat Podcast. The news is next.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Farmers feel the pinch of the shutdown, and bird flu is back again. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. The government shutdown continues, and as Washington remains deadlocked, the consequences are beginning to ripple far beyond the capital, reaching deep into rural America. Farmers across the country are feeling the pinch, and the pressure is mounting.
This federal shutdown could not come at a worse time. Our farmers are facing a serious economic storm.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall.
Row crop prices are low, production expenses are at record highs, and markets have been severely limited by trade disputes. The shutdown adds more uncertainty for farmers barely holding on.
In many small farming communities, the shutdown is compounding an already difficult season. Federal agencies like the USDA are shuttered, halting critical services, including loan processing, crop reports, and subsidy payments that many growers rely on during the off-season. On top of that, farmers are still dealing with the aftershocks of international tariffs. Trade disputes, particularly with China, have slashed demand for key exports like soybeans and pork, leaving warehouses full and prices low.
International trade is important. In general, American farmers get 20% of their income from exporting goods to other countries. That's why the current trade disputes are so concerning. Just look at what's happened to soybeans. In 2024, China booked about 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans for September to November shipment. This year, China hasn't booked any U.S. soybean shipments for the same period.
In rural towns where agriculture is the backbone of the economy, the effects go beyond the farm gate. Local businesses that depend on farmers' spending are bracing for lean months ahead. While Washington debates budgets and politics, many in rural America feel forgotten, caught in the crosshairs of policy fights they didn't ask for. For now, these communities wait for relief, for answers, and for the shutdown to end.
Stop overspending on fertilizer. Biocast Max by BW Fusion helps growers cut up to a total 65 pounds of collective nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium per acre without sacrificing yield. Biocast Max is engineered to release nutrients that already exist in your soil, saving you up to $24 per acre. With Biocast Max, you put less in and get more out. This is how we farm now.
Learn more at www.bw-fusion.com/biocastmax.
The virus known as bird flu has been detected on a commercial poultry farm in Indiana for the first time since May. C.J. Miller reports how this also is impacting nearby dairy producers.
While this is early in the cycle for Indiana, this isn't 100% unexpected.
That's Denise Derer Spears with the Indiana State Board of Animal Health, who announced on Thursday that highly pathogenic avian influenza was found on a commercial duck farm in LaGrange County.
Working with our wildlife partners over at Department of Natural Resources, there have been positive cases found in wild birds in Indiana already this year, and we know other states have been impacted in their commercial poultry sector just within the last couple of weeks. And while we've not found that on any dairy farms in Indiana with all the surveillance that we've been doing, LaGrange is our top county as far as number of dairy farms, not necessarily number of cows, because you have a lot of small family farms in that area. But those that land in that control area are going to need to be sampled as well.
18 states, including Ohio and Michigan, have had at least one case of HPAI in dairy cattle. I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the week setting up here, honestly, it's another warm and mostly dry one when you get right down to it. We do not see any significant precipitation coming at us through the bulk of this week. Now, there will be a few spits and sprinkles to our north, a little bit of moisture trying to work through the northern part of the Great Lakes, especially toward midweek, but I only think it throws some clouds down here on a Wednesday, and if you get into the southern half of the state, not even clouds. But that's what we're looking at here. Temperatures mostly above normal by a handy little bit here through this week. I'll tell you, though, just like I told some other folks over the weekend, remember, normals are setting back fairly regularly every week here. So when I say we're above normal, I'm not saying we're not getting cooler, all right? But we are well above where we should be at this time of year. Let's take it into the weekend. Saturday, we see clouds increase. I won't rule out a few hit and miss scattered showers late Saturday afternoon. I think the bulk of the precipitation now comes overnight Saturday night through Sunday. At this point, anywhere from a half to maybe 1 inch of precipitation across the Hoosier State. We end up with 90% coverage, but I also think that by midnight Sunday night, it's done, and sunrise Monday morning brings a dry weather. We're dry next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The only thing I see, temperatures holding up for the Monday, Tuesday time frame, but then dropping fairly strong for Wednesday the 22nd forward, well, at least for a couple of days. Then we see southwest flow come back going into the 24th and 25th. I won't rule out a few hit and miss scattered showers in that 24th, 25th time frame, but we're talking a few hundredths to a tenth or two, that's all, before we get into cooler temperatures for the balance of the weekend, the 25th and 26th. I think we're back closer to where we should be this time of year. That also may be when we see finally a nice round of frost or killing frost across most of Indiana. So that's the way the forecast is stacking up. Definitely seeing it warmer than normal temperatures here for the next little while. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Seed Genetics Direct is proud to announce their new 2026 seed guide is now available for viewing at seedgeneticsdirect.com. They've added three new powerful hybrids to their corn lineup, along with seven new soybean releases, including one that shows natural resistance to white mold. There's lots to be excited about for the 2026 growing season. View the Seed Genetics Direct seed guide online and make your shopping list today. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
A big sell-off for soybeans to close out the week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review, brought to you by the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. They remind you that the crop you're harvesting isn't the most important part of the farm this fall. You are. Get home safe. Your family needs you. I'll have final numbers from Friday trade coming in just moments, but right now let's get market analysis from Brian Basting, an economist with Advanced Trading. And Brian, here on Friday, as you and I chat in the middle of the day, we're seeing some big losses in soybeans, and a lot of that has to do with this relationship with China. As we look back at the week, it seemed as though we were getting support in the soybean market from this wish that we're going to see something happen at the end of the month between this meeting between President Trump and President Xi of China. And boy, one morning, it all kind of goes to pieces here.
Thanks for having me, Eric. I think you summarized that very well. We had some cautious optimism throughout the week that the meeting, planned meeting between President Trump and President Xi at the end of the month here in South Korea would yield some type of good news. And that seems to have been derailed, hopefully temporarily, but with the tensions rising once again here this morning on Friday with some news both out of China and then reaction from the U.S., markets have taken that a bearish stance, particularly for beans, down nearly 20 cents when that news broke this morning. And I think that bean market is going to remain sensitive to that because they are the largest buyer, of course, as your listeners know, of U.S. beans. And they have not bought any cargoes yet for the 25-26 crop year. So there's a definite possibility that if you do not have the Chinese purchase and lift any U.S. beans, that the U.S. carry out could grow substantially for soybeans from where it's projected now. So, yeah, it all kind of is on hold now, and the markets don't like that. They don't like uncertainty. And we've seen quite a bit of weakness then.
And Brian, just to kind of get folks up to speed, if they're unaware of what's happening, it seems as though the relations with China are cooling rather than warming, evidenced by China adding more rare earth minerals and magnets to its list for restrictions on exports. And they're also going to start imposing some port fees beginning on October 14th, targeting vessels that are owned or operated by U.S. firms or individuals. And this is all just a building up and really, again, kind of slashing those hopes and dreams of what we might have gotten at the end of the month. How important is this, especially from the vessel standpoint? I mean, this makes it nearly impossible, I mean, for us to do much trade on any front with them, let alone soybeans.
Yeah, once again, you summarized it well, Eric. I think we've just got a situation where China is digging in, and they have made a plan, and they have stuck to that plan. And it is not positive in terms of our export prospects, as you said, not only of beans, but you could argue anything. And stock market, as the last I checked, had been diving also quite a bit here this morning after reaching some record levels this week. So anytime you get the two world's economic powers, if you will, China and U.S. butting heads, we saw what happened back in 18 and 19. I think that this, in some respects, maybe even a bit higher escalation than what we saw back then. Anytime you have that happen, markets don't like uncertainty. Markets like where both sides are trading, goods are moving, goods and services are moving. And it certainly looks like these latest developments are not positive in that direction.
Brian, we've talked about soybeans and the big sell-off there on Friday. Let's talk about corn for a moment. We're seeing losses there too. Is it just kind of following along? Does it have its own story? Is this a technical thing that we continue to see?
In contrast to beans, Eric, I'd say that the corn export market is quite bright. We had very strong sales and liftings to start this 25-26 crop year. USDA has projected exports for this year at nearly 3 billion bushel. That would be a record following last year's record of over 2.8 billion. And we're looking at some very bright prospects for exports. Having said that, we also have to remember we're looking at a record crop here. Whether that crop comes down in subsequent reports, which many in the trade believe it will, from what we saw there in September. But regardless, when you look at the bottom line, Eric, on carryout, our carryout last year finished at about 1.5 billion bushels. Most carryout estimates now are over 2 billion bushels. So you're looking at a 33% increase in carryout or more, depending on what this final crop size is. And that is important. It's a wild card. We're seeing some variable yield reports. But the short answer to your question is I think some of it was spillover support, spillover selling, I beg your pardon, from the bean market here on Friday, because it was showing some signs of constructive price action. But that's been wiped out to some degree by the last two or three days. And the market is on fragile ground here as you edge back down to around 410, 415 in December futures. So yes, I would argue, as you pointed out a moment ago, probably we get into some technical trading too. And we are seeing harvest pick up. I don't think farmer selling is overwhelming the market by any means, but some hedge pressures coming in there. The cash markets for corn are quite strong in many cases right at the moment, but just the technical pressure in the markets, harvest pressure, uncertainty about what's happening with beans. It's just, at least for the short term, short-circuited that rally that we had going.
You mentioned the markets don't like uncertainty. There's just a ton right now. Federal government shutdown has taken reports away from us, including the WASD report that was supposed to come out on Thursday. We can sit here and talk about how harvest is progressing, Brian, and we know that it is, but how much? USDA typically tells us. They're not giving us that information right now either. We're flying blind a little bit, and flying blind in the way of uncertainty, and that's just wreaking havoc right now, in my opinion. What's yours?
I agree. What we can do is use historical averages, given the fact that the harvest is so wide open with no harvest delays as such anywhere this week or forecast next week. So we can look at harvest progress like a five-year average to give us a gauge of where we're at. But having said that, it's not precise, and we're still dealing, as you said, with flying blind. What I would suggest to your listeners is a couple things, Eric. I think that you really want to defend your balance sheet, use the marketing tools available to you. In this type of environment, markets can change, and they can change in a heartbeat. We're just getting the planting season started in South America. So what I'd encourage your listeners to consider is to get a floor underneath the market for these new crop bushels. You can do that by either selling the bushels or by purchasing a put option, for example. But I would also encourage your listeners to remain flexible at this point, Eric, with leaving the upside open, because as I said, we could have a thawing and the relations between China and the U.S. this weekend. No one knows. And all of a sudden we come in here and get a big rebound. That's certainly the optimistic view. But my point is that we could change markets in a hurry, or we could have a problem in South America. Anything can happen. And so you want to be in a position where you can benefit from higher prices, but have that protection on the downside. But the very short answer to your original question is, this is as uncertain as I've seen it, obviously, since the last shutdown in 2019. And the stakes are a bit higher, I would argue now, because that seemed to be more China and the U.S. oriented back then. Now it feels like there are many, many other countries around the world involved at this time.
That's Brian Basting at AdvancedTrading.com. December corn on Friday down 5.25, 413. Down a nickel on the March, 429. Novi beans down 15.5, 10.06¾. 15.25 lower on the January, 10.23¼. December wheat lost 8, 498.5. And in livestock, December live cattle was up 262 to 242.52. And December lean hogs down 32 cents to 84.02. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.